That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow,
morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and it is a beautiful day outside, and it is Saturday morning, May 17th, 2014. I can remember what day it is today. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Morning.
And we are having...
Man, it goes in and out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm having some difficulties here. I guess you can hear me. I can't hear me. But we're here. I got some gremlins or something in this board that's acting up a little bit. But that's all right. We're here. It's a beautiful day. We've got our Bibles and our coffee, and that's where we start. So, Kyle, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather in your name. Lord. In the precious name, Jesus Christ. We ask for you to watch over us today, guide and direct us in our thoughts and our words. Send your Holy Spirit down upon us, Lord, to lead us. We ask for all the remnant out there that you put your Holy Spirit down upon them and comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them. We hope that anything that we talk about today, say, or whatever, will edify and exhort the brethren and ourselves, Lord, to live another day, to fight another fight. Again, we thank you for the Son who died on the cross for us. Can't think of enough words to say about that. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name.
And there we are. And again, it's a beautiful day. Boy, we've got water here. It's kind of flood, almost flood stage here. But
I don't know if it rained last night or not, but man, when I got up this morning, everything was wet.
Yeah, we had rain at dark out here last night, but it's that time of the year. We've kind of, I guess, stepped in with most of the other country with a little bit of extra rain and that type of stuff. And You know, Tom had
been a little cold for me.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. Tom had called in Wednesday night for prayer and got a text from him either Thursday or yesterday that said, "Praise the Lord, they got a little rain up there in Montana," and so that was good. And so glad to hear that. So glad to hear that.
Snow's just about melted off here.
It is, and it's running all over the place, and that is a good thing. That is. Well, guys, we'll send it down there to Colorado. How are things going going with you guys? Jason, do you want to start out bringing something with them, presenting something to the remnant this morning?
Sure. Yeah, everything's going good down here. Dragon player number 5 is hot on the presses. That's going well. Hopefully we'll be having that in the mail by, within the next week. And, so that's something that, and exciting and something to look forward to. Seems like, every time we turn around, it's either Monday or it's time for print a newsletter. Others don't know where time's going anymore.
Amen.
It's, pretty crazy. 3 weeks away from Branson. And a little less now.
Yep. And, it'll be, that'll be here before you know it.
Yep.
That's the, wow. Pretty crazy. No, it's just, it seems like it was just last year that we were there gathering. It seems like it could have been yesterday.
Yeah, Kyle and I were talking, it was a couple days ago, we had 3 months till Branson.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's the, one interesting thing that I saw in the news this week was, posted up on the news wire. You can see the story at SFAWBN.com, but it was USDA goes paramilitary, organic certifier buying submachine gun with night sights from 30-round magazine. And seems like the USDA got on the bandwagon with the EPA, the IRS, the BLM, and they put their orders in for paramilitary weapons just recently, and it's interesting because they've went so far above and beyond to keep hitting what they were purchasing as far as their ammo purchases go. But now that this stuff is coming out, you want to know what else, what else are they spending on tax dollars, and why does the U.S. Department of Agriculture need something like that?
Well, doesn't everyone need something like
that? The other thing I saw, too, I think just yesterday they ordered ballistic armor, too.
Yeah.
Department of Agriculture orders ballistic body armor.
I think the post office and the U.S. Department of Agriculture did recently.
Wow.
This last week, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I think the week before was the post office. They had some notes that were released from the post office where they were getting in ballistic armor as well.
Yeah. Well, I bet you the next standoff, like at the Bundy Ranch, would be a different story. Unless the good Lord delivers them.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn back to God one way or the other, but they're preparing for war. You can see that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's an act of prepping for war for sure.
They'd sure love it if we didn't have anything to fire back with.
Yeah, that's we know that our battle's not in the physical, but sometimes you have physical battles. And when you were mentioning that, Jason, the thought occurred to me. It's like, well, did they not realize that they're not the only ones with 30-round mags and ballistic armor and night sights and that type thing? I think they're scared. They are. I think they're scared. We're seeing the signs more and more of Christ's return, and I think they are as well. You know, the enemies of God are seeing them and understanding them as well, and they're all they can do is prepare in the physical.
Absolutely. They know their days are numbered. But they also can't let what happened in at the Bundy standoff just go away. Because once the people realize that, you know, they have no power,
yeah,
then the game's up.
Yeah. You know, I saw... Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know we saw the video of an organic dairy farm being seized there in Missouri just a couple years ago. And, you know, the trucks rolled in and the sheriff was there. And and that went very peacefully, but it didn't seem like that it would have taken very much for that to not have been a peaceful event.
Yeah, that was one of our people too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this just trying to produce wholesome cheese. Excuse me, go ahead, Jason.
Now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is joining the militarization bandwagon, requesting submachine guns, 40 caliber Smith & Wesson, with tritium night sights for front and rear, with front and rear rails, for attachments with flashlights, for front under fire grips with scopes, stocks that are collapsible, and magazines that hold 30 rounds. In other words, the USDA is now purchasing precisely the weapons Obama famously said belong in the hands of soldiers and not on the streets of America.
Good point.
Yeah,
he's building his army besides the military army, just like he promised in 08.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's keeping his word, that's for sure.
That's the only thing he's keeping his word on.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, it's just interesting just to see, though, that, you know, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, really, you look at, you know, what the IRS, the USDA, and all, I mean, all these alphabet soup organizations have done over the last 5 years, and 5 years ago, you know, it would have been insane. That's just how fast the times have changed. I mean, what I've noticed is that it's like you look at these headlines, and it's like, I mean, you see headlines that you would have shocked you a year ago, and 5 years ago, you might not have believed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, just that snowball effect and how things have just changed drastically. You know, and not just saying this, but on things like this, but on so many different fronts, it's like you look at the, you know, the storms and the weather inversions. I mean, we talked about that, you know, last year, but we didn't see anything like what we saw this year, you know, last year. You know, from coast to coast, it's just been strange.
You say the headlines that used to be once in a while where you know, you'd think twice, wow, how is that even possible? Now it's daily.
Yeah, the way it used to be when you go to, you know, post, you know, looking for news stories and stuff to talk about with people, and you'd have to look hard to find, you know, good, you know, stuff that was, that you could. There was a lot more cover-up. And, you know, now it don't matter what you pick up. You can pick it up something, and it's like, you know, wow, it's right there in front of your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it ties in with Jason mentioned the Volume 5 newsletter that is being printed, started last week, and will continue on this next week. And there's two articles in it regarding the blood moons. Boy, that's just been in the topics on the internet lately, and seems like everybody and their brother's got a book or something out on it. And so, no, we're not selling a book on it. We're not selling blood moons that glow in the dark and hang in your room. But we do have a couple of very good articles regarding the blood moon in this Volume 5 Dragon Slayer newsletter. And I think we'd all agree they are a sign, but they're a sign of destruction for them. And so, again, we encourage you, get our Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you don't get it, we'd be glad to email it to you or drop it in the mail to you. And
you said it was May 17th, right?
Today?
Yeah, is that what you said?
Today's May 17th.
So 34 years ago tomorrow, Mount St. Helens blew.
Can you turn Kyle up a little bit?
Sure. 34 years ago tomorrow, May 18th?
May 18th, 1980, yeah. Mount St. Helens blew. And I don't know what it was like in the rest of the country or the world or whatever, but, you know, we could look and see the mountain. And we could see it blowing. And, the real... 2 weeks later, it must have been like June 1st, is when it hit Portland with a second blow. Because the first blow, the east winds were going. And so all the ash and everything was basically going the other side of the mountain from where we were, little northeast. But the top, you know, if you were a Christian then, it was a sign. I mean, it was like, you know... I remember everybody thought, you know, that was nothing for God. I mean, that's just the tip of the finger, you know, for God. You know what I mean? And ever since then, it's increased more and more and more and more and more. But anyway, 2 weeks later when it blew, then the winds had shifted and it blew southwest and it covered Portland. Of course, we weren't in Portland. Me and my wife were dating at the time, and I was with her brother, and she was with her... some friends, and we were up basically at the foothill of Mount St. Helens the 2 weeks later when it blew, and we woke up at 9 o'clock and we thought it was in the middle of the night because the ash had covered... I was sleeping with her two brothers in a station wagon, and the ash was so thick on the car we couldn't see any light. And all of a sudden there's a beating,
wow,
beating on the car, and her granddad saying, "We got to get out of here." And it was quite a deal because the windshield wipers wouldn't work. You know, and it's coming down. It's falling down just like snow, only a lot finer. Her brother's driving and reaching his hand out one window, manually operating the wiper on that side. And I was doing it on the other side so we could see. It's slick. You know, you wouldn't think it would be, but it was slick just like snow. I mean, it was something to get out of there. But anyway, the talk was, man, we're getting close. This is a sign. And it was a sign.
Absolutely.
I mean... And ever since then, 34 years, which is nothing in the big picture. I mean, to us, it's like, man, I was, what, 18 then? I mean, it's nothing.
Doesn't seem like 34 years ago.
No, it doesn't. You know, and ever since then, there's been so many things happen weather-wise. I mean, no, we haven't had volcanoes blowing up next to us.
Not here.
Not here. But
all around the Pacific.
Absolutely.
Chile and Argentina have, you know.
Yeah.
There's been nations over in the Mediterranean that have, mm-hmm, since then, for sure. Yeah, it you know, the Bible says that God is not slow, as some consider slowness, but he's patient, you know, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to, not salvation, but repentance. He wants them to come to salvation, those that can, but he wants repentance more so than anything else. And, you know, if you we read a lot in Exodus with the Passover coming up in the last couple of months, you know, push that, I guess, would be the right thing. But, you know, if you go back to Exodus 14, Pharaoh has decided to go after Moses, and it says in Exodus 14:6, "So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them." And, you know, in the day they had their spears and their sword, and what they took was basically what Jason described of the day, you know, the submachine gun with the flashlight mount and the collapsible stock. And, you know, Jason, I wish I had taken notes, because that sounded like a pretty neat little weapon to have, you know. Not admitting whether we have those or not, but it sounded kind of neat. I've heard the boys talk about that, you know, that, oh, look at this collapsible stock, and here's this mount, and such, so forth. And Pharaoh had...
I wonder if we could apply for a federal government grant to outfit the Gideon Elite Warriors.
they're outfitted. They're outfitted. You can bet your boots on that. And so, you know, when they so here comes Pharaoh and his people, and it says in verse 9, then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea. And in verse 10 it says, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. And that was a sin. They sinned right then and there. You know, they truly did. Because God had let them out. He had given them a deliverer. And what did they do? They rebelled. And they were frightened. Because we're only to fear the Lord and not to fear these enemies. Not to fear the ungodly when they come against us. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And you know, remnant listening in, read that and understand that for what it is. That is the way of Egypt. That is the thought processes of a slave. That is not the thoughts of a Christian. That is not the thoughts of a servant of the Lord God Almighty. Not at all. Those are the wrong thoughts. That's the wrong way to be. You know, but many times we get complacent in this Egyptian captivity that we find ourselves in once again, this Egyptian type captivity, as a people, not as individuals. We know that we've come out of that. But
anything that is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. And it's hard to get that through our heads, because God can deliver us out of all kinds of things. I remember a pastor saying one time about Monty and Jody, about worrying about it when they'd get sick. And then finally he just said, they've always got well. What am I worried about? You know what I mean? And we do that all through our lives, you know?
Yes.
Is just give it to God. You know, he's already delivered. I mean, everybody that's probably listening to this ministry right now, or all of us, I know, we've already been delivered so many times to get to this point, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's not like coming out of Egypt. I understand. It's not that physical. There's not a big thing of fire out here on our road keeping the government trucks from coming down Mason Lane. I understand
right.
that, you know? But at the same time, I can recall in my life so many times I've been delivered. So many times friends of mine and family members
sure.
have been delivered.
Absolutely.
And I still, at times, have those thoughts that you're talking about that is of sin.
And we have to do that.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, go back. Here's one of the biggies, but it certainly applies to every little thing, whether the children are sick, you know, or, you know, yesterday, my daughter's coming home from work yesterday evening, and she calls and says, Dad, I think I blew a tire. So she's about 3 miles down the road. So I, you know, I mean, you offer up a prayer,
yeah.
and you know that she can call, and that it's 3 miles down the road and not 3 miles down interstate, 20 miles away, and go down there and the tire's inflated. But when you look at it, all the tread had just come off. It looked like a recap had
uh-huh.
come off. No, it's not. They're good tires, but all the tread had come out. You're seeing the metal sticking all out over the place, and she's 3 miles from home, and so. Okay, well, let's just drive. We drive it home. It's still got air in it, so we ease it home at 20 miles an hour. So now it's in the driveway, and I can fix the tire. You know, praise the Lord. He
yeah.
delivers. Moses tells them here in 13, Moses said to the people, do not fear. You know, I think God wanted them to see the Egyptians. He wanted them to be coming, breathing right down their neck. I think he wants the post office to buy the ammo they're buying, and the USDA, and every single, and it's not just them, but it's every single arm of the government is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are right. Obama's building his army, just like Pharaoh did. You know, he'll have his 600,000 instead of his 600. And God, and I think God wants us to report it and to tell the people and to say, see that over there? You see that? But Moses goes on and tells them, he says, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And
And well, look at
to us for our learning.
Joshua 1:6-9. I know Dad's brought this up before, but be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, that I commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And our people understand that, but I sent that out to a bunch of Judeo-Christians, and they'd never seen it before and never heard it before, and several of them sent it back and said, well, thank you very much. You know, that's exactly what I needed right now, as you're facing these trials and tribulations of the world.
Yeah, it is. It's not a, you know, I was looking something up the other day, John. I went back to your article that you did on the Nicolaitans here in the newsletters. And, you know, that was, I think I'm right on it. That was one of the things the Nicolaitans did, is they kind of had a foot in both worlds, you know. We were Christian. They hallelujah and amen, and they would do that. But they also had a foot over here in the pagan worship, and still, you know, they straddled the fence. They were lukewarm, as the Bible says. And, you know, that's what a Judeo-Christian is. And let me tell you something. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, hates a Judeo-Christian. Did you get that, folks? Judeo-Christians out there? God Almighty. No, this isn't Fred Phelps telling you God, you know, no. This is truth from the Word. God hates Judeo-Christians because the Judeo part denies Christ. And if you deny Christ, you deny this power right here. You deny this power. You know, God led Moses and his children into the sea. He just opened it up for him. He opened the door, so to speak, for him and said, here you go. And the Egyptians followed him, and it says, in the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians, this is verse 24, through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. Now, a Judeo-Christian is not going to believe that, but a Christian will. It's as simple as that. You read on down a little bit further, and it says, while the Egyptians were fleeing, right into it, then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Then the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. We have to remember that. We do. We have to remember that in these, you know, let the blood moons come. Let the, you know, how many times have they been talking about Yellowstone erupting? Boy, the lake of magma.
They make movies about it. Yeah.
All the time. Why? Because they, you know, that's what they want to happen, for one. And they want to strike fear into the heart of God's people. Because when God's people, when the true Israelites, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people, when they fear anything but God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, then they sin.
Well, you know, what you're talking about is deception. You know, people out there, there'll probably be some people out there that maybe cringe when you say God hates a Judeo-Christian. But they wouldn't cringe if you said God hates murderers, or God hates adulterers, or God hates homosexuals. You see, being deceived, we are told that over and over throughout the Bible. Do not be deceived. And that's what you're talking about. And it's a sin. Sometimes you're deceived and you don't know it. Right. You know, well, that's a little different. But sometimes you practice being deceived. You want to be deceived. You want to. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if somebody isn't saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, and the only way to the Father is through the Son, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that is an antichrist. You know, so if you want to be deceived and continue to say that those type of people are God's chosen, you see, that's a little bit different than being deceived ignorantly, you know, and not knowing. Because we're all deceived in certain ways, and we all commit sins. So the thing of it is, don't practice in it. Don't right. want it. Don't revel in it. And that's what they're doing. You know, it's like those at the end of Romans chapter 1. You know, I mean, it talks about those that give hearty approval to those that are going against the ordinances of God.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about those deceived people that would actually, I mean, they might as well say, instead of Judeo-Christianity, they might as well say anti-Christianity. Because that's what it is.
Anti-Christianity, yeah. That's exactly what Judeo-Christianity is. You know? And if you're a Judeo-Christian listening to this, if you haven't turned the dial yet or turned it off, you know, think about that. You know, an African-American is African first. An American second, you know. In the old days, you had Irish Americans. You know, the Irish. Oh, they were Irish first, and then Americans. You know. What's first place in Judeo-Christianity?
Yeah,
it's Judaism, and Judaism denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It denies Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
Yeah, and I don't know if I lived in a bubble when I was little or what, but I never heard that term until I was getting...
That's because it didn't exist.
Right.
It didn't exist, because when you were little, it was Christianity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when
I was... And there was Catholics, and Christians knew that they weren't Catholic. I mean, you were one or the other. You weren't, you know, you didn't combine the two.
And you weren't Jewish.
No.
Yeah.
And Jews were actually made fun of in jokes. I mean, you got ripped off by somebody, and what'd they do? Jew you down? I mean, it was common.
And now it's verboten.
Yeah.
Now it's verboten. Well, Remnant, you're listening to, and even if you're not the Remnant, if you're listening in, if you're listening, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it was started by Pastor Peters many years ago. On Saturday mornings, we'd get together with our Bibles and coffee. And pray, and where it went from there, who knew? And, you know, you get a little bit of everything. You get some current events. You get what the enemy's doing. You get also some of the Word of God, what God has done and what He will do. And we enjoy it. We hope you are too.
Yeah, I remember some of those Saturday morning coffees with the pastor Friday afternoon. That way I got to sleep in on Saturday morning.
Well, the broadcast used to go out at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And we did a few of them live there, but we're sure live here this morning. And, I like this timing a whole lot better. And you know, if you want to know a scripture reference, look at Revelation 3. And he says that, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. And that describes Jesus Christ. Who was there in the beginning? He was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. He is God. It says to the church of Laodicea, right? This is what Jesus Christ says to you. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Does that sound like He loves them? Maybe He likes them less. But that, again, I think that was the Nicolaitans. They were that. They were lukewarm.
And they're still around today.
And they are. And we just have to make sure that we're not, you know, and I mean, this goes to each and every one of us. It goes to me. You know, we have to make sure that we're not that way. In the aspects of our life. But, you know, Remnant and those that may be turning in, you need to ask yourself that, you know, and make sure that we're not. He goes on and says, you know, you because you say, I'm rich, and I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. And, you know, we may not be that way in the physical, but we have to make sure we don't get that way in the spiritual. And, you know, we are not just a physical people. we understand that this battle is spiritual, and these verses have been popping up and coming up lately. You know, because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, it doesn't matter what we think. You know, it doesn't matter if we think we're these things or not. It's what does God think? How are we when we compare it to how He tells us to be? But that's not the end. Then He goes on and says, I advise you. And you know, when God gives advice, that's good advice. That's good advice to take. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. And so, you know, those white garments, I think that you get that by raising your hand on Sunday morning, don't you? Isn't that where that comes from, Kyle?
No, sir.
You raise your hand.
You have to walk forward.
Oh, you walk forward and they give you a white garment down there at the altar. Isn't that how that works? I haven't been to an Antichrist church lately, so. No. You read Galatians 3:27 and you realize that when you are baptized with Christ, you are clothed with Christ. And you have to have that. It's as simple as that. So that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. We are to be clothed in those white garments. And that does away with our shame. We've all got shame in our lives. We've all got shame in our past. Things we did that we're ashamed of.
Takes us out of the realm of the world and puts us into God's realm, yes. God's authority.
Absolutely.
Only way you can do it.
The
only way you can have the faith that you need to overcome the things that are coming.
And you may say, folks, you're listening in, you may say, well, I just don't see that. I don't see what you're saying. I don't see it that way. Well, guess what the next verse says? Buy eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You know, that's the gift, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you get at baptism. Acts 2:38 tells us that. Repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think one of the gifts is that eye salve to make it so you can see.
But what do we constantly pray? That the scales will be removed from their eyes and their ears and stuff, you know, our people. And it's happening. We're seeing it all across the country and in the world. We see more and more people that are writing to ask for the newsletter, more and more people that are saying, hey, I caught you on the shortwave or I caught you on the internet, and what you're saying makes sense. And I think we have several that are scheduled to be baptized there in Branson, and Lord willing, we'll have a bunch more. Because everyone who is a part of this remnant, anyone who's listening right now, if you're not properly baptized, you better get your house in order, because the time is coming where it'll be the 12th hour.
Amen. Amen. And the shout will go out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And you got it. And when that happens, it's too late then. Well, wait. Let me get baptized now. Nope. No time. There's no time then. Well, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Hey, Wranglers. Joe calling.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, morning, guys. I'm hearing you on this morning on the shortwave. You're just coming in on 5830 kilohertz, and it's for the last few weeks, it's reception has been horrible here in the morning. It gets better when you switch over. You know, when the transmitter switches over to 9475 or whatever it is, don't get a chance to listen to it on that one much. But anyway, I remember you.
Appreciate that.
Sorry?
Appreciate that report, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else listening on shortwave, we'd really appreciate reports too. And we're working to fine tune a lot of this stuff, and Lord willing, it's going to be better than it ever was here as soon as we get through this conversion.
And I've been in touch with some other shortwave enthusiasts, and they also say that, one guy in Florida, he's saying that the shortwave reception, and he's got a big old commercial shortwave antenna mounted in his backyard. And he's also complaining a lot throughout the
day. Tell them to send emails in. Will you, Joe, the people that you know, have them send emails in to Jason, and that'll help us a lot in figuring out what we need to do. Appreciate it.
Yeah. But I remember them talking about the multi-jurisdictional task force, and my eyes were opened a little bit back then, being part of the what you might call a patriot movement back in the 90s. And it might have been there all the time. You just never really saw it. But one day I was walking to work and looked over into traffic, and there was a guy looking right at me. And it was the strangest experience. He was looking right at me, and I looked at the car, and it looked like a cruiser, but it had U.S. Postal Service stenciled on the door. And this guy was staring me down. I don't know whether he knew who I was or not. He wasn't a postmaster in my town, but those guys have been part of that task force for years. So the news that they're buying up, material for paramilitary and other actions, that's nothing new.
Yeah, it's just coming to light.
Coming
to light. Their sorceries are ending. You know, we've been praying that their sorceries would end, that the people's eyes would be opened, that the enemy would not continue to be able to do what they've been doing, and we're
well. You may just have hit something there and I remember even Limbaugh, he's talking about a small minority rules America. I heard him say that a couple weeks ago. And he just won't come out and say the J word. I don't know why. Jeez. I can't figure out why.
He wouldn't have a job. That's what.
That's right. Because then that other J word would go away. The job, huh?
Yeah, right. So, all right. Well, have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll give the number out, 307-745-5913, if you want to give us a call this morning and have a comment or a question. Mr. Kyle, I was thinking yesterday I was gonna shoot you an email and get you to bring something this morning from the wide world of sports. Remember what you see on ABC, the wide world of sports?
That was years ago, but yeah, I remember. They'd show guys wiping out on skis.
What they call it, the joy of victory and the agony of defeat, and that guy just wiping out on the skis and whatnot. But you're kind of the sports guy.
Well, lately I've kind of been in the shell, not really paying attention to it.
Probably smart.
Yeah. I mean, I know you talked about that homosexual football player, which I touched on it a couple months ago when he came out of the closet, so to speak. But I didn't pay attention to it, and then what I have heard about it makes me think I don't want to pay attention to it. Yeah.
What I saw, I guess, last week when they had the NFL draft, I didn't want to repeat it. It was just debauchery, filthiness, and the media just put it out everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're just so full of hypocrisy, you know. I mean, you come against it. I mean, if you just say, "I don't like that," they'll come on you like, you know. I mean, flies on you know what? I mean, they are hypocrites from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. You know, I know he made a statement when he first came out. I don't want it to be about my sexuality. I want it to be about my football ability. And then he shows up at the NFL day, you know, where they time their speed and stuff, with a rainbow-colored bag. He wanted it to be about his sexuality. That's why he came out of the closet. You know what I mean? But you know, if you actually got a good job, what they call a good job, and you're in the media, you're on ESPN or you're on Fox Sports or you're on ABC, Wild World of Sports, whatever it is, if you say anything that would be a negative, they're tolerance all of a sudden is gone.
Yeah, you're right.
You're out of here. you know, just like Jimmy the Greek.
And they know that. And the sportscasters know that. If you want to keep this, you toe the line.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone line. Oh, sorry about that. Here's another one. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir.
Bill.
Last week you read that prayer of the month. It's a good prayer. And I had forgotten that you even put those up every month. And I remember we used to, a lot of people tune in at 8 o'clock, of course, you know, probably the most listened to hour on your station, and we used to pray that as corporate prayer at 8 p.m. I think there were some benefits to that. Of course, I don't have to do the work to get it recorded and get it up there every month, but I just
well, we've...
Joe, it's up there, and it's playing at 8 o'clock for the first 5 minutes of the hour. Oh, okay.
That's why start at 5 after.
It's been running. That's why we start 5 minutes after the top of the...
Yep.
Oh, hi.
Right, and what Jason had said is, yeah, we do that. Now, for a while, we were playing the pastor in the Mighty Weapon, prayer. We did that for quite a while, but I think for May, we got the prayer recorded in the 1st of May, and that was the May prayer. And the one we read Wednesday night is actually the June prayer. It's in our Volume 5 newsletter that's at the printers, and we'll get that recorded, and we will get that up. We're starting the 1st of June. We'll have that prayer for the for that first 5 minutes as well. So
I guess I'm Rip Van Winkle. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about all the armory of these federal agencies. They may be realizing that there's a lot of states and localities that are just saying, hey, we don't want you guys in here. So they can't depend on going to the local sheriff in some places and getting an automatic stamp of approval and having them come out and lead the raid.
Right. Yep.
So, which may be a good sign.
Good point.
All right. Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Bill. And the other phone line ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, this is Joe in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Joe.
I just wanted to give you a quick propagation. Your signal down here is very consistent on both frequencies, very strong, except around about an hour ago, it started to cause echoing, shimmer, and at night, just around about sundown, when the propagation changes, you fade out almost completely. But you still capture. Sometimes, recently, there's been a total loss of signal. I figured it must be the transmitter, because when you have a loss of feed, the carrier's still there. But in this section of the world, your signal is very strong, so I don't know about your antenna array up there, but that's what I want to share.
You're in Georgia?
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay.
All right.
Well, appreciate that.
Hey, bless you guys.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
And as John said, it is good to hear that. If you're listening on shortwave, you can. We do ask for the reception reports, and we'll send you a QSL card. If you do that, we'd be glad to send you a card out on that. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And if you're just tuning in and getting it, and we have a free newsletter. We've mentioned it in this broadcast, but it's called The Dragon Slayer. And if you don't get it, if you haven't read it, if you write to us, we'll send you a sample copy. And then if you'd like to continue getting it, you can let us know, and we'll send you one every month. It's a monthly newsletter. The kicker is you just don't know which month it's coming out in. And that's how it goes. It's always been that way, but... but we do have that, the Dragon Slayer newsletter. You know, it's almost a little magazine. but we'd be glad to send it to you. Again, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we're down to just about 10 minutes left in the program today. Time certainly flies. And I drank my cup of coffee.
Me too. I'm empty too.
Yeah. Well, bring a thermos next time, huh?
Just
bring an extra. And, well, before the time runs out, we will invite you to church tomorrow. We try to get that out before we do run out of time. We say you can come join us at church or at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and we'll get things fired up about 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And we encourage you to come there. We'll have scriptural insight and study and a welcome. We'll have some good music. We'll have a communion service. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And it's a time of stepping away from the world. It's a time of turning the world and everything else off for at least a couple hours. And hearing the Word of God, hopefully you read some of the Word of God, and even if it is just the live stream, it's an opportunity for fellowship with like-minded believers, and a way to assemble together, if not in person, in spirit. And we're told to do that. So we encourage you to do that. We're doing our best to provide a way for you, the remnant, that are scattered from sea to shining sea and all over the world. This Volume 5 newsletter, if you take a look, we've got some mailbag in there from Australia. They tune in from, I think it's Beulah, Australia, and get the shortwave down there. And another note in there from New Zealand, people that get our newsletter down there and that tune in, and as well as Texas and California and everywhere else. And so... We do our best to give the remnant an opportunity to do that, to worship every week, to take a Sabbath, to join in with like-minded believers in praise and worship and learning from His Word. So we encourage you to join us at church tomorrow, and we don't think you'll be disappointed if you do.
You probably should say a word to the, what's the word, procrastinators, that, you know, about Branson, because Branson is coming up, and there's always those that they just, you know, they keep putting it off before they call in, and it's always, you know, it helps us out, you know, if you call in a little earlier.
That's right.
Before the deadline.
And Branson is June 6, 7, and 8, but I can tell you, we're leaving that Tuesday, so if you think you're going to call that Tuesday or Wednesday before, you're just going to get the answering machine here in the office. And you have to call and register because it's only the people that are registered that get to know where it's at. Simple as that. And so the registration numbers are good. We're looking forward to an excellent Holy Spirit-inspired gathering there. And we're getting ready here. We've got things printed and are still printing them and working on the schedule. And so... we encourage you, if you think you can make it, you know, pray about it. Pray about it, whether you should come or not. But if it's something you're thinking about doing, you're wanting to do, like Kyle said, don't wait till the Monday, Tuesday, right there before. It might be too late. You might call and not get an answer on the phone. That's kind of like knocking on the door and nobody answers. And you don't want to wait too late. And so we do encourage you to do that. We have our Branson registration online at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. It's also in our Volume 3 and Volume 4 newsletter of 2014, and they are also posted at the website. And you can download them. There's a PDF form. You can print it out, fill it out, and it's getting kind of tight on mailing it in. If you want to call in and... you know, we can even register over the phone. Our office number is 307-742-7582. Get those mixed up a little bit. Again, 307-742-7582 is the office line. If you want to call in, and we've taken many applications or registrations over the phone. And
yes, getting time, exciting.
Time
forward
running
to it.
Short. Well, we're wrapping up this hour. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember that this ministry, these broadcasts are brought to you because of the continued and faithful prayers and support of the remnant. The broadcast time is paid for by the tithes and offerings, and know that we pray for the remnant out there. We do appreciate your prayers, your faithful support. It's needed for us to be able to continue to get these broadcasts out. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow morning.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my
hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Near my God to thee, near.